Thank you for coming to our panel. My name is Mercy Victoria Grace, and
I'm Justin Hall.
And we're from Game Layers. We've spent the last while making what we call the Passively Multiplayer Online Game, which is a play on massively multiplayer online games.
PMOG. So we're going to show you PMOG today, but you could show yourself. As I mentioned, it's now sign-upable directly for the duration of this little confabulation. In the upper right corner of any web browser pointed to pmog.com, you can sign up. But only with Firefox can you install the extension and have a true PMOG-ish experience.
And also as part of this, you will unlock the beta badge, which will be your first stab at achieving on the web.
That's right. You'll finally be achieving on the web. Yeah, it's weird. It's weird, this sound. But we're told that there's listeners at home who are basically blind to the slides, but eagerly tuning in, so we'll use these microphones as an outreach effort to try and bring this conference out. So, what is a PMOG? It's a logo. And as Mercy said, it's a passively multiplayer online game, which is a lot like massively multiplayer online game, except it's easier to play. And in fact, a passively multiplayer online game, basically you guys are all already playing it. So the idea of wanting to play a massively, passively multiplayer online game came from a scene like this one. A very interesting person is hunched over a computer and flying through a fabulous world on some mount that they played so long to get. And you say, oh man, I want to get a mount and fly through a virtual world and have a great time. How long have you been playing that game that you were able to finally get that mount? And they type /played into World of Warcraft, and it's something like 70 days and 23 hours. And I say, man, I'm kind of too busy. I'm kind of too busy to do that. But, you know, but I'm on the web all the time. Like, you know, you could just look at my fly-ass tabs and all my bookmarks and know that I'm like a really active web user, like when I took this screenshot. I'm a really busy guy on the internet, so there's a game I'm already playing. There's a game I'm already playing on the internet, and that's what we wanted to make real-ish with PMOG. So, Kevin Kelly is a writer, and Kevin Kelly is on the internet, and Kevin Kelly did a rundown of how many days he had left in his life, like a rough sort of calculation. And he was thinking about how if you look at projects, like you're gonna do a big project, it might take 5 years. So he could count the number of projects he had left. Him and Stuart Brand were talking about this. So I was thinking about this myself, like I'm like 33 years old, let's say optimistically I live to be as old as my grandpa, that'll give me about another 60 years. That's about 12 more 5-year projects. This is one. So it's really fun. It's interesting to account for your time, right? And so I think one of the things that the internet, it's really facilitated a lot of people accounting for their time. So if you look, this is a chart that shows upward growth of a thing. And the thing it's talking about is blogging. In this case, blogging has gotten more and more blogs, and people who do blogging is growing up. So the idea is, all those people are accounting for their time on the internet. And this is actually a really old phenomenon. People have been doing this for a really long time. This is a blog from the 1600s, where people have, yes, that's right, Samuel Pepys' diary. So this people have been accounting for their time for a long time, but when you look at the structure of how people account for their time, let's look at a sample homepage, for example, samsloan.com. This guy continues to update, crazy stuff, continues to update, and the structure of his whole accounting for his time is determined by Sam Sloan. It's this crazy web world where every link is defined by him. This is the homepage, where there's no structure other than the structure of hyperlinks and the pages and categorization and ordering and categories and everything that Sam Sloan wanted to determine. And it is crazy. Like, I trimmed this screenshot, it's kind of unfortunate, but if you saw the size of the little scroller indicator on the right, it's tiny because his front page has about 1,000 links on it, each of which has a paragraph above it about one of his brides or a legal case he's in. This kind of typifies the homepage. Then there's weblogs where people have more ordered You know, a few years after the homepage, the weblog emerged. It's, you know, ordered, reverse chronological. You guys know what a weblog is. Okay, so when you want to update a weblog, you just go to the front of it and you say R, and you just say whatever you're going to say after that R, and then you put that in there and it gets posted to the top, and that's how you update. Now imagine that you're a, you know, busy guy who's known for humping furniture, and you need to tell the world how you're feeling on your MySpace profile. And you would say, maybe you just want to change what music you're into. Maybe, you know, you're going to get married to somebody, and so you would go up on your social network and you just change who's in your top 8 friends and which one's number 1. So the fields for sort of updating and accounting for your time are even more defined and easier, lower barrier of entry. You just need to go in and fill out some fields, and that's how you signal meaning and personal worth and deep relationships and abiding commitment.
Jesus.
And then, you know, a few years after the advent of the social network, saw the advent of microblogging. This is a fabulous Twitter from Dana Robinson. And the idea is, you know, just even lower barrier to entry. Just write a one-liner. Just a one-liner about how you're feeling. And find, you know, and now we're coming up where, okay, you're on all these different sites, you're doing all this stuff, let's pull it all together, and then you can follow your friends as they sort of touch these different social networks. This is a picture of Friend Feed, and it's an aggregator, and there's Jaiku and other aggregators, so it's like, I don't even have to choose whether to update the network. The network's just like watching me on my Twitter and my, you know, what music I'm listening to on Last.fm, and it's Flickr photos get posted, and it tells my network when I'm doing stuff. And I don't even have to write an essay about my life anymore. I just live on my computer, and the world knows. So this is perhaps the most contemporary of these time accounting techniques, except for this, which is a little bit intense. This is a program called S-Life. It's Mac and Windows now, and it'll sit on your Mac, and it will literally keep, on the left, it keeps a list of the programs you use, and it takes screenshots of what you're doing in that program, and then it can file those and publish those. And then it will look at all the URLs you hit and stream those URLs to your profile on the web. So it'll say literally, like, what's the last URL Justin was reading? Well, there it is. It's on his profile. And so this is... maybe a little bit, it's a lot to think about right now, but I think, you know, if you told somebody 10 years ago, hey, everything you do on your computer might be indexed and networked by a feed aggregator and shared with all your friends, that would sound creepy too. So this is, so let's look at these in a chart because I figured out how to do that in Keynote. So we have these different mediums and the year that they emerged roughly, and then the action gets sort of easier and easier and easier, you know? Basically, you go from like creating a page when you want to say something all the way down to just agreeing to have your life shared, and then that's a one-time thing, and then it goes on from there. So let's look at this from a sideways perspective instead of a vertical perspective. You go from self-managed to co-managed. You go from a lot of effort to basically, it's an afterthought to account for your time, and it's an afterthought to share that with people online. And you go from a lot of effort to what's basically agreeing to be surveilled.
So what's really great about this is that there are people involved in this process too. And so you can have fun by showing people what you're into, by showing people what you're doing. And you begin to form this data stream that's very personal and about yourself and your friends. So I went somewhere, I took a trip, it's on Doppler, and I can see my own trips saved in time and the trips of my friends. I message with my friends, and we message about our friends on Twitter, and that's also saved in time. And so you have the place that you are and what you're saying and what you're doing with your friends. And increasingly, you also get what you are commercially doing. So Facebook was, for a while there, showing everyone what you were buying.
Or renting.
Right, or renting in this case. And that's kind of creepy. And you don't really get too much out of it, right? So Xbox and Microsoft have actually been forerunners in this field of making you feel like all of this time that you're spending on all of these appliances is worth something. So you have achievements. And at first, it was... you just marched through this linear game that was based on a movie, unfortunately, so that makes kind of a lot of sense. But now you can play Half-Life 2, Episode 2, and you can carry around this Amelie-esque garden gnome that you take from place to place, and it has no gameplay sense at all, and it doesn't, you know, make your rockets shoot faster or make you more deadly in the field, but you do get an achievement for it. And so the sort of addiction of the achievements and the feeling that what you're doing matters in a sense that is greater than just having this data trail that doesn't reference itself and that doesn't give you anything for itself is something that we want to bring into PMOG.
So basically, if you look at what PMOG is, it's adding that idea of accounting for your time and accounting for your travels and achievements and social standing and social play to the web. So here's some capital letters. So PMOG is, in short, a toolbar that you install in Firefox, and if you're arriving late but still going to use your computer, you can go to PMOG.com, and in the upper right corner it'll say sign up, and you can sign up and skip the people who've been waiting a long time to play.
The like 16,000 people that have been waiting to play.
Okay, so in the lower right corner here is a number, and that number is my data points. And as I surf, every top level domain that I hit gives me 2 data points. So if I spend all day just reading, you know, southbysouthwesttales.com, then I will just get 2 data points for that day. But if I go from there out to, you know, I think what's now bensurveini.com, or if I go from there out to, you know, what's a URL? Somebody shout a URL. Can I get a URL? Dogster.com. And then I go to dogster.com. Can I get another URL? Goatsy.what? That's terrible URL, but I could go there.
There's always one. Seriously.
Can we get another one? PMOG? Okay, yeah. I don't think we give you data. No, it's a fountain of data points at PMOG. So the idea is that the system rewards broad surfing. It's traveling out beyond just a few sites is what will make you truly rich within this game world.
And so that's what we started with when we wanted to make a massively casual online game that all we really knew at the outset was that you're already spending a lot of time on the computer. There's already a lot of data about you. So there's already this great resource, right? And what can we use that resource for? So this is a comic that we used to promote the game before the launch. We had it on our website for like 4 months. So you really missed out if you didn't see it. And this was painted by Douglas Sirois, who's done the vast bulk of the art in the game, some of which you'll see later. And the idea is that your alternate reality is the internet. And this alternate reality is a city. So there are these structures, websites. There are languages that you've used to build these websites with. And it's a terrible mess of a place. Nothing looks right. It's this urban sprawl. There's no government ruling to make everything look aesthetically pleasing. No one's putting on, you know, a Mardi Gras parade through the streets. There are no streets. And until you really had links that connected pages to pages in a meaningful way, there was no sort of real navigation. You had to already know where you were going. And so the conceit of the world of PMOG is that we are bringing this city to life and showing you these structures and allowing you to hack them.
Hack a structure?
Hack a structure?
Like it's like a, how do you hack a structure?
Right. We'll get into that, Justin. Thanks. Okay. So one of the parts of role-playing games and of massively multiplayer games that I find kind of annoying is that before you even step into this world, right, before you enter the gates of this city, you have to decide who you are and what matters to you and what you're doing. You pick.
And what race you are.
Let me keep on talking. How about? Thanks. So, you have to pick a race and you have to pick a class, and that determines what you can do in the game and what powers you have and what sort of reward chain you'll be going up. So when you start PMOG, you are a shote, which is a Victorian term for newly weaned pig. So you've just stopped sucking at the teat of the old internet, I guess. And you are now, yes, I won't go further with that. So the idea is that there are already player types on the internet. This is the game that you're already playing and that you've already sort of decided who you are. So Amy Jo Kim, who's a game designer, has talked a lot about social networks being like massively multiplayer online games and like player types being the kinds of things that we already do on the internet. So the two factions in the passively multiplayer online game are Order and Chaos. So Order are the people who troll through Wikipedia and correct other people's grammar. There are surprisingly a lot of these people. And who make their Flickr photos searchable in a chromatic wheel. You know who I'm talking about. And the people who are chaotic are pretty much anyone on somethingawful.com, I think. People who are flaming each other in forums, people who send you Goatsy, there's always one. And this person seems to rediscover Goatsy every 6 months. And we're trying to make, with the tools that we've designed, try to give people ways to do this explicitly. So we're making your data streaming explicit, and we're making your player behavior that you're already participating in on the internet explicit as well. So I'm going to sort of quickly run through the players and the tools that we have so that you have a framing for the actions that we'll show you later. This is a seer. I'm going to start with the faction of chaos. So a seer sends you through a portal that they place on a website. And by clicking down there in the toolbar, they can lay a portal to basically a blind link, which is a recipe for Goatsy almost. But it's the idea that if you know your friend who sends you to Goatsy every 6 months, and you see a portal that they've laid on some website that says, you know, cute kittens, but it's marked not suitable for work, and you remember this about the person, then you'll know that what is waiting on the other side of that portal is not necessarily something that you want to see. But if you have a friend who is a little more structured and who does things like recommend great restaurants to you, and if you find a portal by them, then you might think that it's something more worthwhile. These are destroyers who use a mine, which is the only weapon in the game so far. And a mine, actually, if you click down here, you'll have laid a mine on a website, and then the mine disappears into the background. And when it comes back up, the browser will shake, and the person who tripped the mine will lose data points. So it's not a distraction, but it's a little bit of a nuisance. And then to get back at those people, here you can, when you've been mined, you have an opportunity to attach a Saint Nick to someone. And that Saint Nick, they don't know about, but the next time they try to lay a mine, they'll be prohibited from doing so. And this is the Vigilante Association. So to start with, Order are the people who want to protect you from losing resources on the web. So these are the Bedouin, and you can equip or unequip your armor down here. There are people who would rather give you a gift on the internet than do something sort of snarky and mean to you, and these are the Benefactor Association, and they use crates. And you can deploy a crate on any website, and that's right there. And then there are the people who write blog entries and who edit Wikipedia and like organizing information, and for them this is the light post, which is our bookmarking system. So you can lay a light post by clicking down there on any URL, and then you append your own notation to it, which we'll get into a little bit later.
Okay, so we're going to show you these in action. So let's say you feel like changing Congress, but you're not quite ready. You just want to go and sign up with your email address at change-congress.org. And you say, boy, I'm so much in support of this site, I'm going to put a crate on this mofo so that the next person who goes here will feel like an extra boost of like pleasure, reward in here. And so then the deploying a crate, you click on this thing at the toolbar, and this deploying a crate thing comes up. And you say, okay, well, I'm going to put 100 data points in there. I'm going to write, go Larry, in the comment. So then I click deploy, crate deploy. So now, the next person to arrive at this site, little green pop-up in the lower right corner of their browser window. They can ignore it or not. If they don't ignore it, it's an invitation to play and to loot. So you click loot this crate, and hurrah, you found 100 data points, and go Larry. So this, the idea is, crates, you are just leaving presents in your wake on the web, culled from the bits that you've picked up of data points and the tools that you have. Let's say instead you feel like, Google, pretty busy website, probably a lot of people surfing Google. I could maybe have some fun by making mischief. I'm going to lay a mine here, and the system says, mine laid, how uncouth. Then the next visitor to this google.com website, boom, a mine. Their browser shakes. There's a sound effect if you have that preference turned on. And you've tripped this guy's mine, incurring 5 dp of data of fiery wrath. My God. So now let's imagine that happened on this site, because I did that for this screenshot. Okay, now I want to seek revenge with a Saint Nick. I click on that thing, and then Saint Nick attached. What does that mean? It means if somebody had done that to me, and I was on this site, and I was about to do the mischievous thing of laying a mine, and I clicked a mine, boom! My screen would flash red, and it would say, mercy foiled your attempt to deploy a mine by using a Saint Nick. So back and forth. Do you want to blow stuff up? Okay, other people might want to inhibit you. That you get in these sort of extended chases across the web with things. So you can lay mines on Google, but you could also lay mines, you know, six sets deep in someone's photo stream where only them or about three other people are going to see it. And that set of three other people is going to know who mined it, and they're going to Saint Nick you, and it's on. So let's imagine now I go to XKCD and I say, oh, there's another link you might want to know about from this website of great comictude. So I click portal, click create a portal, boom, create a portal. I'm going to link to something relatively innocuous in this case. It's a Flickr set of people who met up based on coordinates that were published in a comic and a date in a sort of cryptograph. He basically wrote a comic where he wrote coordinates and a date sort of obtusely, and then people teased it out and showed up. And so now, next time I come to this site, in the lower right corner, there's a primary colored box. It must be an invitation to adventure. What does it say? Oh, there's a portal, XKCD meetup. That sounds innocuous, but it's unrated, and there's no red flag for not safe for work. I'm feeling lucky. Star wipe, and we're at another website. And in this case, it's the XKCD meetup, and I now have a chance to flag that portal as not safe for work or rate it. So the idea is that as you're surfing, these little bits of content pop up and things are happening in your browser in the corner, and you can sort of choose to ignore them or participate in them. And we have settings so that you can say whether, you know, if something's not safe for work, I want to know. If something's, rated, if it's getting like a 2-star rating, don't bother me with it. I only want to see the really good rated stuff, like popping up in my little browser corner. And then I want sound effects.
I don't want sound effects, Jesus. Okay, so I think having embedded sound on MySpace is probably the worst internet experience of my life. Oh, God. Anyway, so we have a lot of user-generated content on the site. We call them missions. So missions are what you make by having planted light posts on various URLs. And then you come in the mission generator on pmog.com, and you assort them into the order that you want someone to go through them in, and you attach comments to them. So this mission that I'll take us through right now is what it looks like when you would start a mission, and it's pretty typical. This user, Poo, this mission is a 4-star mission, and it is about science podcasts. So what this user has done is pretty much sort of written a blog post about the science podcasts that he enjoys. And he literally just goes to the website for the science podcast. So you click on take this mission, you're taken to the first URL, and you have these persistent HTML overlays at the bottom, which is how you basically experience the game outside of pmog.com. You can just click through, and here's a zoom on. You click through by clicking next or by clicking previous if you feel like you missed something. Players are now making puzzle missions where they've hidden the previous and next buttons, and you actually have to search through the source code of the page to find them. So talk about hackable. So yeah, you just keep on going through and absorbing or not absorbing, if the case may be, and then you click complete this mission, and you're taken back to the website, and you're given an opportunity to rate this mission. You're given an opportunity to mark it as a favorite. You can write a comment, or you can tag it. And I tagged this poo because I wanted to tag something poo, and this was the name of the user. So they were sort of asking for it. This is what it looks like on the pmog.com/missions, where you can find them by association, because what sort of missions you take affect who you are in the game. Categories top rated. We generally have about a 25% mission rate. So right now we have about 5,000 users and about 1,500 missions. So about 25% of whatever our population in the beta at any point is, we have about 25% missions, which is kind of a lot. So this is the most active part of our passive game, making and taking missions. An enjoyable thing to do is to earn achievements. And we have achievements that are based on tool use, but we also have achievements that are just based on where you surf, because there we are watching you. So if you go to Boing Boing every day for 7 contiguous days, then you'll unlock the Bounce Bounce badge. This Snow Globe badge is for people who have a very limited view of the internet, or who just think that they know what's best. I am sort of conflicted about this, because it was supposed to be a bad thing, but because achievements drive player behavior, people are now making missions about the 10 websites that they'll allow themselves during the week that they're going to earn this mission, or earn this achievement. And my friend Big Mike is the only person that I know of who has unconsciously earned this badge, because he's a big snob and he thinks that he knows what's best. So he only goes to 10 sites, and I'm pretty sure they're all about internet security and music without lyrics. We'd like to push people in different directions. So if you go for a 24-hour period without using Google, then you'll unlock the Indie badge.
It's tough, right? Because you get Google Docs, Google Maps, Google Mail, Google.
Yeah, there's a lot of Google everywhere. I certainly have not unlocked this badge. But so people are now, you know, making missions and researching alternate search engines because they want to unlock this badge. So this is all aggregated into your character profile, or your profile as it would appear on a social networking site. And it's passively determined. So right now I'm a vigilante, because I've been using a lot of Saint-Nyx, because it's lots of fun for me to do. And you can tag other people, and it shows where your who your acquaintances are, and what your badges are. I have made the missions that are about getting to know PMOG and about using PMOG, and then I take people back to my profile and I tell them about acquaintances and rivals and allies. So the dev team has joked that I'm now the Tom of PMOG, because I have, I think as of today, something like 580 acquaintances out of the 5,000 people.
You're widely acquainted.
I'm widely acquainted, indeed.
So all this is her profile, and it's filled up with what she does in the game, and then also just how she surfs, and what she looks at, and what search engine she uses, and how broad her ring is, her range of sites is. And so maybe that's a little bit scary. Maybe it's a little bit weird to be watched all the time on the internet and to have your profile made of who you are and what you do. And so we have some things that we've done that allow you to sort of control what's being tracked about you within PMOG, to give you a handle on this. So, you know, let's say you're going to some websites and you're just surfing around, you say, I'm going somewhere I don't want to be, you know, indexed right now. So you can click, there's a little eye down in the toolbar, and you click on that, and then the game is paused and you're no longer being tracked and no longer being mined and no longer being crated, and all these things are not going to happen to you. Or let's say you're banking. PMOG does not track secure websites, you could see, because I circled it in red. So the idea is that, you know, there are some boundaries here and handles that you have immediately on your privacy, and then more during your browsing, and then moreover, you can determine, okay, what, maybe I earned the Snow Globe accidentally last week, and it's the only badge I have, and man, that makes me look like quite a snob surfer or quite a little, you know, small town surfer. You know, I don't want people to know that. That's not public knowledge for me. So I'm going to mark that as private over here, and that makes me feel good about, you know, what I can protect. But also maybe I'm just freaked out by this whole thing, so I'm going to remove my history from the game or delete my profile entirely. So those buttons are there so that you can sort of, you know, play this game if you want to and feel that you have you have control over whether your information is tracked at that moment, tracked over time, or forgotten.
But even if you decide to delete your browser history because you just don't want us to have it, you don't lose the resources that you've gained by surfing, and you still have the badges and the characteristics that you've accumulated. So the game is not going to punish you for taking your browser history out.
We only punish you if you click the delete my account, but you're punishing yourself in that case by not playing a fun game.
So a place that we are watching people is in our Pound PMOG IRC channel on irc.freenode.net. We're free to drop in so we can watch you. And people are giving up sort of PMOG testimonials in there. And this is, I think, the most commonly heard comment that you're now all over the place because people are trying to earn the resources, so they're surfing where they didn't surf before, and they're taking missions, and that takes them to URLs that they hadn't visited before. And what's great about this is that I remember when I was younger and the internet was still a really big place because you didn't have all of these aggregators and you didn't have Google and you had to search more arduously to get the information that you were seeking. And so it's gotten actually smaller and smaller, even though the internet has actually gotten bigger and bigger. So it's great to have the internet be this place where you're not only encouraged to explore, but if you want to achieve, then you have to explore. We also have forums. The top one, Misadventures, is a nice way to say, report your bugs here. Please.
By far the most popular forum.
Yes, that's very true. And in another forum, someone posted about whether or not you feel like you experience the internet differently, which a lot of people have testified to. People are learning by using PMOG. So this is a girl who is doing a research paper on pirating software and on BitTorrents. And so she searched for torrent and pirate missions on PMOG.com, and she found a wealth of information that may have been throttled otherwise or that she wouldn't have found. People are also posting about so many helpful suggestions about what the game should or shouldn't be. Someone has decided that the Bedouin class is lame and should be taken out of the game. He makes some good points, but players have also sort of come to the defense of the Bedouin. So when you go to a website that is part of a mission, you'll be invited to take that mission. So there's a mission that uses this as its starting off place, and it's called Poems for a Bedouin. So this player made a not super highly rated mission about poems that they feel really flesh out the Bedouin class. And so this person is sort of like emotionally or at least poetically attached to the Bedouin class. And they cite Yeats, Shelley, Edna St. Vincent Millay, and they end with John Milton. Now I feel kind of bad if I decide that the Bedouin class isn't what it should be and should be folded into something else. But I suppose if they've fallen in love so quickly, they'll fall in love again.
Well, the Bedouins see to the heart of the matter. We need more of them in government.
Yes.
So, gosh, I can't remember how we were going to do the transition between these two slides. But basically, the next slide is kind of looking at, we have this game that people are invested in. We're very excited. You're playing across the web. You're surfing. You're enjoying your regular life. And then you're also getting these points and stuff like that, and you say, boy, this is really promising what they built. They're an early startup. They have all this wonderful potential. When are they going to do something terrible like put ads at the bottom of my screen? They're popping up these little things. How long until the pop-up says click for cash or something like that? So
Cash
that,
Fiesta.
Yeah, Cash Fiesta or surfing2cash.com. That's not our business model. So our business model is actually more like this, which is that you offer people an opportunity to go down a rabbit hole into something that's sponsored. So we have sponsored missions we're working on so that if you say, man, I'm totally getting mined all the time. My friend is all over my Flickr stream. It's like this relentless campaign of social network terror. I'm afraid to go into Flickr now. I need to buy some armor and I need to buy a bunch of St. Nick's, but I don't have any money. Okay, I'm going to take the awesome instructables.com mission, and that's going to give me, 300 data points right off the bat, which will allow me to be totally kitted out by the time I learn about this cool website where I can learn about doing other stuff.
Or if you're a big fan of some sort of media product like Lost or Batman, then you could take a sponsored mission from those properties and then be awarded like the Lost badge or the Batmobile and have that as a signifier of your tastes.
On your profile. So if you're interested, partners at PMOG. So I went to a party at the Game Developers Conference like about 2 weeks ago. And it was fun to go to a party. And I went and there were lots of people who, dressed and showered and stuff. And I went up to them and said, what are you doing? You're professional looking. And they said, I'm working on a casual MMO. I said, oh my God, it's like we have so much in common because I'm working on a casual MMO too. And I would say, tell me about your game. And they would say, no, I'm not going to. It's not out and we're not ready. And I would say, oh, that's really too bad. Let me ask you one question. Are you synchronous or asynchronous? And they're all synchronous. They're all synchronous. So either we're crazy, but I don't think we're crazy. We're asynchronous. The base of what we're building is asynchronous. And I think that's really important because you know what synchronous means? It means this. It means you have to schedule time to play a game with your friends. And like, that's the whole point. Is that I don't want to schedule time to play games. I'm too busy. I want games to be there all the time a little bit. So you just sort of play when you're ready or when it's on the right page or when something happens. It's not like, oh man, it's 2:30. It's time to go to, havefun.com and meet up with my friends or whatever, Like, I don't think that's how a game across the internet should work. So along those lines, I'm going to show you one of the best features of PMOG that we saved for last year, which is that when you're looking at the internet with your PMOG browser toolbar thing, you can click this little P in the status bar, and PMOG will go away. And so you could just be surfing and not even know that you're earning data points, not even know that you're on the verge of stumbling upon a trap or unearthing some treasure or whatever, and it's just going to come up and surprise you across the internet. So this is, I think, an exciting thing. We're actually building an MMO that's less popular on the weekends. We're building a game that, is a much lower threshold to play. So thank you. So there's a microphone over there if people want to say things. You just shout out URLs from the crowd and we'll repeat them into the microphone. Yeah. Give us your name and URL or, situation.
My name's Alan Varney and I'm a game designer here in Austin. One of the game companies here in Austin, John Galt Games, is working on another similar project called Web Wars. I don't know whether you've followed that.
Yeah, sure. It's EVE Online derived.
Right.
It's from that world of science fiction space battles, but you wage them on websites. So my army of ships will take on your army of ships to determine who controls Doppler.com.
Right. And are you... Really, I couldn't have put it better myself.
Okay.
And I'm curious, are you aware of any others moving into the same space?
Yeah, I had a whole bunch of slides, but I think I took them out. Okay, there's, is Jerry Paffendorf here? No, he said, oh yes he is, he's in the back, he's really tall. Okay, put your hands up again. So you're doing something synchronous, right? Oh, both, okay. So he's doing something, what's it called?
Wello.
Wello, W, it's like Hello World, Wello Hurled. So that's one. Would you say you're in the space?
We're in the space.
Yeah. He's part of the Web Wars. And then we are. And Conduit Labs, is Nabil here? Nabil Hyatt? No. Okay. He's less tall. So if he didn't put his hand up, I might. So they're based in Massachusetts. And I think they raised a lot more money than Jerry and I and all of us did. And so but they are building something and we don't know what it is, but he's the guy who actually, he's the one who dressed and showered and told me he was synchronous. let's see, who else is, then there's MetaPlace, which Raf Koster, if you know about the sort of the history of graphically massively multiplayer online games, and then MUDs before that, he's a prominent game designer who's now decided to take gaming and atomize it and spread it across the web by building a series of interconnected protocols for tiny virtual worlds to be embedded on your web page. But if you go to the web page and your friends aren't there at the same time, then there's a virtual world that you can
And it's not a game around. That's created for you that you can just jump in and play. You have to create.
Yeah, it's
game.
A set of tools for people to create their own
right.
little.
So,
yeah. So experiments in this area. I think right now we're the, you know, we are the leading Firefox extension MMO. Woo! So if nobody else comes up to the mic, you could tell us more about Web Wars, or somebody's coming to the mic. Oh yeah. Okay. You want to pass down from that guy went up to that guy went up to
I walked up to the mic. I was just wondering if you guys have...
Wait, no, what's your name? And
I'm Rob Dixon. I work on Flash and Air for Adobe.
Cool.
I'm wondering if you have thought about the educational aspects here, and it seems like you've got some great ways of incentivizing people to go through, you know, learn new stuff, check out new things, and anything at the other end of that maybe for checking out if people retain some information and learn something from these experiences?
Yeah, so we're working on features that will be like little tests to see whether or not someone actually absorbed the information that you were trying to illuminate for them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that people are learning using it. I'm very wary of getting into the school systems, especially the public school systems, because they will, you know, roast you,
yeah.
basically. If, you know, a 10-year-old sees Gozi, that would be... too traumatic to handle, apparently.
Gotcha. Okay.
But, yeah.
So, Ted, what's your... Oh.
No, you can go first. That's fine.
What's your name? And
I'll defer to Ted. I don't have a problem with that.
Who are... What's your name? What's your URL?
My name's Ted Reingold. What's the future of moving into other plugins or spaces you can overlay on top of browsers that may be on phones or wherever?
Well, we have a dog that we love, so we would love to sort of be able to profile track her and like have her Dogster page auto-fed with like what park she went to and stuff like that. But that's like RFID and probably Bluetooth and yeah. Oh, in our game.
Right. I think he was kind of throwing us one.
Oh, okay. So.
So yeah, we've talked about making an iPhone game so that you can carry around an adventuring party with you, and that would be fed by data. And Jaiku is everything that seems like it would be really sweet to do, but short of actually being a game. So they were a company that was recently acquired by Google that would show you your web presence. So it would read where you were and who you were around. And so
using Bluetooth signatures of the nearby mobile phones and GPS of cell towers to literally place you in space and social space.
Yeah. So that would be totally sweet to build a game out of. I think that, you know, there's so much data, and now we've gotten used to designing around data. And as much data, basically, as people want to give us from as many devices, we would love to build play out of that.
Hi, Al Partridge, TwistedPaths.com.
What?
TwistedPaths.com.
TwistedPaths.
We make ARGs.
Oh, cool.
I explained the PMOG concept to a bunch of my designer friends, and the absolute first thing they said was, aren't people going to block that? What if somebody puts like bad comments on my site? Or what? I mean, do you guys have any? Are you prepared for that when?
Yeah, someone
CNET
told us that we should have good lawyers.
Yeah.
The thing is that we aren't actually on someone else's site. It's all being hosted on our servers. So if you're not playing the game, you don't get any of that content.
And then if you are playing the game, then you and someone like won't stop mining Twisted Paths, clearly you need to bring St. Nick's down on them. I mean, that's part of the design is that, you know, there's that balance. You got to get your posse to get their posse to, you know, do the web war, you know, bring the street peace to the streets or whatever.
Cool. Thanks.
What about Safari? Well, I think if we wanted to be on the iPhone, it would be a WebKit, and the Safari is a WebKit or what?
Or an app. Yeah, yeah, we're totally down with getting on other browsers. Firefox is, it has a really great testing base, so the players are on the, bleeding edge of what you can do on the internet. So it's a great place to prototype, but we absolutely plan to move to other browsers as well.
Yeah, I mean, we have had a great experience with Firefox. It's such a, really flexible to develop for, also a pain in the butt, but really flexible, and then people who are super helpful and enthusiastic, and people who use Firefox are experimental. You know what I mean? So we're working with a guy named Mark Daggett who's doing a bunch of our code work. And he said that, he was building this browser-based feedback system so that people could leave sort of political commentary on websites, Balance Bar it was called. And he built it for IE and he released it and he got no good commentary. And then he released it on Firefox and he said the quality of the discourse went up hugely and that there was much more activity. So I think that right now we're in a good spot with cross-platform, experimental, browser pioneer peoples, out there using the web with us.
Yeah?
Hi, I'm Alex Williams. I'm with a company called Iterasi.
Iterasi?
I-T-E-R-A-S-I.
Iterasi. I've been
asking people to say it, actually, and they have all kinds of
So
words.
Iterate, but Asi.
Yeah, it's Portuguese for iterate.
Oh, cool, okay.
So, anyways, we're in beta. It's a plug-in.
For Safari?
I was just writing in some notes about this very issue. I was been talking to people about if we should develop on the Safari platform, and I get so many different opinions. The early adopters like Safari, but go with Firefox first, and yeah. Even consider Flock.
We did Firefox and Flock just worked, and doing yeah. Firefox, I think what we heard, we talked to the guy who did StumbleUpon, Garrett Camp, and he said, look, we spent 5 years in Firefox, figured out what our interaction was, and then we paid some guys to come in who knew about this Windows thing and did the Internet Explorer deal and all that.
Okay. So I'm just curious what you guys are seeing in this whole new community of companies that are developing Firefox extensions. Is there somewhat of a renaissance going on? Are you partnering with any others at all? Just curious how you guys are kind of adding feature sets.
So far, we found at the beginning that we didn't work when some of the other extensions were also, on Firefox.
Space, yeah.
Yeah, get out of the way. I don't know. We haven't really explored working with any other extension makers yet. I think that we've mostly are just trying to poach their employees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's smart. Do you guys have an estimated number of users on your platform, or how long you've been up?
Well, what you can just find out is if you play PMOG, which I highly
right.
recommend.
I will.
You can.
Yeah.
You can. In the upper right is a players. You click players, and it'll say 4,500 or 5,000 or something in that area of active registered users right now. But that's a thing where we're throttling it because we can't handle the truth. Hello. You know.
Okay. Cool. Thank you.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Matt Jones. Used to be one of the people in control of Doppler. I had a question about some of the game aesthetics and choices you made on that. It's got this very kind of steamy punk thing going on, and there's sort of a hint at a kind of narrative, sort of, but more from the character classes and those kinds of things, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering what was going through your head there, and did you consider something more abstract, more kind of ludological.
Yeah.
Have I done the GDC bingo card yet?
No. Yeah.
I was just wondering what your thinking was.
So I'm not such a fan of abstract, partly because what we're trying to do is create a space where it's okay to game with your data. And part of doing that is setting up a fantasy world. So I knew that I wanted to set up a fantasy world. And then thinking about the internet as a landscape, I am from very rural California, and so I don't have the experience that a lot of people have. People have asked, well, if the internet is a city, then why isn't it post-apocalyptic, punked out, sort of shit. And I lived in the country and read a lot of books. I was an English major at USC and read a lot of Victorian novels. And so it's, you know, very much based off of my desire to see something well fleshed out and deeply illustrated, something that looked more like a painting than a flat, you know, anime vector art. So it's just my personal taste, I suppose. And some venture capitalist wrote about us a little while ago, and he said that the early adopting super internet user set, as it were, loves steampunk, apparently, and that will get us our first 30,000 users or something like that, based on aesthetic alone. I'm not sure that I believe that, but it was nice because I'm constantly being pushed to make things less involved and more meta.
I mean, when I first started trying to build a prototype, I was like, I'll build a literal game about web surfing, and your profile will be HTML, and it'll have images. And I got about that far, and so there was no painting, and there were no cool posters for free up at the front at that time, like there are now, with the art on them. What do you think of anime? I mean, anime is sort of the default for a lot of kind of let's make playful web stuff.
It's yeah, like, and especially for casual games as well. And I'm just like fucking sick of looking at it, you know? It's flat, it's everywhere, that's great, I don't know. I want something a little more involved.
Hey, my name is Travis Barker. And I'm too close to the mic. OrbitingStudio.com.
What's your studio dot what?
Orbiting Studio. It's just a personal place spot for fun flash animation and stuff. And I'm all stoked about your design. I signed up. It all worked. And I'm hoping to drive traffic to Orbiting Studio with like this little game I'm doing on the side with my business cards. But I want to bomb them. And I guess I'm kind of hoping for a little how-to on how to like set up a mine, I guess. Score a bunch of points, right? Mad loots.
I'm sorry, what's the question?
How would I... I was just kind of like a how-to. Like, I'm signed up. I'm all in. I'm hoping to drive traffic and... So, bomb the hell out of people and score points, right?
So
just click.
I saw walking up here, there's a ton of people with it up on their monitor, like they've signed up and stuff. So
I think the way to get ahead with PMOG is the way to get ahead in life, which is to just start pressing buttons and seeing what happens. And
I can't mess up, kind of thing, right?
What's that?
You can't really mess up.
I mean, the stakes are low. You just installed it. Worst case, create another account, you know.
A little side question is control clicking, open new tabs in Firefox.
Yeah,
is
that should work.
Jive,
you know, fingers
and
crossed.
Right on.
But I think the we just in our next version of the extension, which I think we'll publish this week, we'll have keyboard shortcuts, so you can drop mines and stuff with like Control Alt M. It all spells clamp. C is crates, L is light posts, A is armor, M is mines, P is portals, and then W clamps for W is closed.
Sweet.
Yeah, with eye skin.
All right, well, thank you. I really love the design, and if you guys give me like 5 minutes, I'm going to set up a mine and come see active animations from Southwest.
Mining a site?
Orbiting Studio.
It's not a way to get people to go there. Leave crates.
Oh, right, crates.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, maybe this is our last question. Or maybe not. Oh, you have one too. Well, you should... Oh, that's wonderful. It's too far. Well, why don't you say... He's standing up so that, you know...
Hi, I'm Nick. I work for a British TV company called Maverick Television. I signed up about a month ago, level 2 vigilante, hell yeah. I have to say, I'm loving it. And it's actually, from the point of view of a professional TV researcher, it's actually completely changed the way I look at the web. I find new ways of finding people's paths, new ways of going on missions, and it's taken me to places I wouldn't have found by myself. And I'm just kind of really interested in that whole brand new ways of following people's own narratives. And I kind of, on the narrative point, and taking that aesthetic thing a little bit further. You've got a big thing on there with the codex, and there's quite a lot of interesting backstory, mm-hmm. you know, behind all the different clans and missions and stuff. Just wondering if that's going to expand any more. Are you going to drive the story a bit more yourself, or is it going to be all about people's own stories on PMonk?
I'll definitely do some more of the story aspect. I'm looking at getting a guy who's graduating from college soon who's made some ARGs to help flesh out the world with me. But also we're planning on having non-player characters and other things so that you can start to build up a fiction of your own, because you know that's part of the web, is that you can tell your stories, and we're trying to enable people to tell our stories so that the fiction of the world doesn't take over everything, because if you have different ideas, I totally want to hear them.
Cool, thank you.
Yeah.
So, here.
Hi, I'm Suzanne Sagerborn with Games for Change, and I'm interested if you're seeing any activist stuff going on. Are people doing anything that, you know, to try to disrupt the system?
So we did a prototype of PMOG about 6 months ago, and we had one user who made an ass load of, they were called quests at the time, they're now called missions, and they were a lot about like, here's how you can reduce your carbon footprint, here's how you should buy bottled water that is ethically sound. The answer is don't buy bottled water. Here's how you get chocolate that wasn't made by slaves. So we have 1,000 missions now, so I'm sure there are some activist ones in there, but they've all come up in the last 6 weeks, and I've been, you know.
Something that I am looking forward to seeing is when we'll have more sort of location-based tools, probably in the fall or so, to see the sites fight back and forth. So I'm just dying to see Adbusters try to take down Nike.com.
So yeah, literally like Adbusters.org versus Nike.com, and then right. They have tools that allow them to do that sort of battle. I mean, probably the activists would win just based on the fact that they're more Firefox users than, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, people with giant corporations surf on intranets where all the surveillance is done by the company, but they don't get points,
yeah.
You know.
And we also, we thought that this would be a game that people played at work, but it turns out a lot of people aren't allowed to download Firefox, much less a Firefox extension that tracks where you're going on their company computers.
Yeah, so we're freelance friendly.
Yeah.
Have you, are there opportunities?
Are you asking, you asked a question earlier.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Okay, but what's your name and your thing again?
My name is Alan Varney, and I'm a freelance game designer here in town. I was just curious, have you investigated trying to do some sort of cross-promotion with vendor sites, Amazon and on down, to, such that customers who buy particular items or sponsored items will thereby earn data points in PMOG?
Oh, that's an idea.
Well, okay.
That's cool. We're very open to ideas that are not gross. You know, no one wants to see ads all over their toolbar, much less us. We use the internet all the time. I'm really sick of being advertised to. If, you know, either things that I know that I like and I would like to opt into those. And we certainly don't want to creep people out with what we know or don't know about them. So we don't want to necessarily, you know, we want to be good, and we want it to be a fun place where you can play, and part of that is being very responsible about the sponsorships and very responsible about how we use the data and what we show people about themselves and each other.
What we show ourselves and each other. Thank you for coming, everybody. Woo!